Hallelujah. Praise God. I've had a marvelous journey this week. I love these journeys that God takes us on, don't you? It's amazing. Like, knowing God is an adventure. I love the prophetic. There's a sense of destiny about where we're at. I'm getting more and more in my own heart, in my own spirit, just such a sense of privilege of what it is that we are called to. Ministering to people is a privilege. Helping, if you think about, you know, like the four R's of our ministry, reach out, restore, raise up, and release. If you think of those four R's of what we do and of who we are, the sense of privilege that you can take a life, you can meet somebody in their worthlessness, you can meet them in their brokenness, you can meet them in their poverty, you can meet them in their sense of, you know, like, I'm getting by, I'm fine, I'm happy in the world, but really that deep sense of unhappiness meets you every time you see them. And you can be a vessel that God can use to change that life and to help shape that destiny. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. May you expand in your ministry this year like never before. If there's anything that you do this year, if there's anything that you set your sights on, may it be to expand in the ministry that God has called you to. And God can take anyone from anywhere and do anything with them. God can take a scallywag chav from Tottenham. Thank you, Alex. And turn him into an ambassador for Jesus Christ that preaches to nations, thousands of people, presidents, kings, rulers, chiefs. My goodness me. God can take anything and do anything with them. It's whether we allow him to take us on that journey of discovery. May you come onto that journey of discovery of who you are in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was preparing my message last night and I had it all planned out that I was going to prepare my message from 9 till 10 in the evening. I was going to watch the news and then I was going to watch Arsenal thrash. Swansea City? 4-0. I heard the results on the news and I thought, oh, I've got to stay up for that. And so I was praying from 9 till 10 last night. I was just praying and studying out the message. And I got nothing from God. Zero. Like nada. And I was like, I'm never nervous in those things because that's a journey as well, right? God takes you from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. In fact, one of the things that I tell the guys who are students of mine and disciples in ministry is that one of the things that we have to watch for in ministry is like if you take like an X and a Y axis and you draw a straight up line on one side and then you draw a straight down line on the other. You see, and you call one knowledge and you call the other zeal. As you progress in ministry, as you grow in the grace of God in ministry, your knowledge usually goes up like that. But many times, you see, we start out zealous. You want to win the world, and then life has this way of beating the socks off you. So your zeal, when you start out, your zeal is like way up top. And then as you progress, it crosses over, and then there's a crossing point where you think, oh my goodness me, right? So your knowledge is going up the way, and your zeal is coming down the way, and in the end, you end up this unzealous guy full of knowledge. May it never be in your case, in the name of Jesus. So the way that God, the Holy Spirit, often leads us and guides us in ministry is that he causes us to keep this zeal burning. And I've learned this. It's a key to great ministry. That, you know, many times, you know, when you start out in ministry, you'd spend the whole week preparing for 5 minutes ministration. But then as you grow and as you mature in the gift that God gives you, then it's more important to rest in the Lord. It's more important to just be in his presence and worship him and not be worried, not be anxious. You know, the more anxious you are, the more stifled your anointing can be. And it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. God help us if we're ever without his anointing. I remember I learned this from Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn was privileged to do Catherine Kuhlman's memorial service, which they held the year after she died, about 1977, 78, somewhere like that. And Benny Hinn was sharing once that he was just so like privileged. You know, he was rising in the healing ministry. God was obviously demonstrating that the mantle for supernatural healings and ministries miracles that Catherine Kuhlman had on her life, that he was transferring it now over to Benny Hinn. And he was very excited, very zealous, preaching up and down the country with great results. And they called him. They said, Pastor Benny, we'd love for you to do Catherine Kuhlman's memorial service. So he said, right. He said he prayed and fasted the whole week. He said, I mean, he did everything. The guy who used to look after Catherine Kuhlman, like her chief of protocol, came to him about 2 hours before he was due to preach there. And he said, now, Pastor Benny, everything's fine. Everything's set. The people are very hungry. They're very zealous. They're ready to receive from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you go and rest. Enjoy yourself. There's a little, they call it a green room, a little green room where you can relax and just enjoy yourself. And Benny's thinking, how carnal is this guy? I'm going to be up there storming the heavens and doing blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that, ready and, you know, punching and all sorts of stuff like that in the spirit, ready to bring heaven down. And he said he came out and he got on the platform. He said, and it was as dry as the Texas desert. He said nothing was happening. He said the lights were all wrong. He said I was in the wrong key singing worship songs. He said even my he was wearing white socks. He was wearing a black suit and white socks. He said even my stupid white socks, he said I could see them on the TV monitor and just everything just looking ridiculous, looking like a waiter from a Lebanese restaurant, you know. And He said, and I stood and I prayed behind the pulpit. He said, and I repented. He said, I'm so sorry, Lord, for preparing. You see, it all sounds good, doesn't it? All the storming and the blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the one who sets us up for ministry is God. So we have to prepare his way. And last night, for me, was one of those prepare his way things. But anyway, Pastor Benny, he said that the everything changed. From that moment, he said a sweetness entered the room. And I knew from that moment that Jesus was in control. Hallelujah. What a great lesson to learn. And you know, one of my sayings is that wisdom is the ability to learn from other people's mistakes. So may we learn from his. I certainly did, in Jesus' name. So last night was one of these things for me, and I went to bed. I had zero. I had my pen out, my pad. I didn't even know which scripture to open. I'm going like from the holiness of God in Exodus, because that's what God's been speaking to me about personally, how God is holy and what holiness means. The word holy means to cut and to separate. And when you understand what it means, then it's easier to be holy. So there's certain things we cut out of our lives. There's certain things we separate ourselves from. So we are then automatically holier as a result. And so I was learning about this thing called holiness and trying to get all the religious, you know, like God is holy. Like I lived around the corner from one of those old, old Jamaican Pentecostal churches. No makeup. Deodorant was from the devil. I mean, God help you if you shaved your legs or your armpits. If you were what? Lord have mercy. I mean, if anyone saw more than your wrists, you know, or you like or your ankles, where there's big long dresses and the tambourines and spinning around and falling down and all sorts of stuff like that. And that's what I used to think of holy. In fact, they were called a holiness church. Pentecostal holiness as if that had some makeup, a witch burn at the stake. If you even look in a makeup shop. And that was the idea. I had a holiness. So God has been taking me on this journey concerning what it means to be holy. So I'm there studying last night holiness and nothing. You know, there's a witness that God gives you in your spirit that you're on the right track. You know, and there's nothing coming up. I'm saying, oh, God, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm reaching 10 o'clock. And then even at 5 to 10, I fell asleep. I didn't even get to see Match of the Day. Don't know what Donald Trump's latest tweet is or anything like that. I just completely just dozed off and just fell asleep totally. And imagine, one of Arsenal's great victories. I missed the whole thing. But anyway, Jesus is in control. Amen. What are you talking about, deliverance? May God set you free. You know, they're from Watford. And you know, NEWS, you know how they teach you how to remember north, east, west and south in the schools in Watford? Is that never, ever support Watford. Hallelujah. Anyway, So there, I'm in this dream, and God, another thing that God has been doing with me lately is that he's been ministering to me more in dreams. So I had a dream. I woke up Friday after the half night, and it was I really enjoyed the half night, and I still don't know why. It was just the blessing of God was there. And so about 4 o'clock in the morning, suddenly God wakes me up, and he shows me a particular young guy in Harvest. And literally, I couldn't get back to see. I kept praying and interceding for this guy and just asking God to, you know, like to protect him and to cover him with the blood of Jesus, that every plot of the enemy would fail in his life and everything like that. And so that was Friday night stroke Saturday morning. So then last night, I fall asleep without getting a single word from God. And I'm in the deepest of sleep. And the next thing, I don't know if you've ever dreamt like this, where something comes like towards you so fast, and then you wake up, you go, because you thought it was going to hit you one. Ever had one of those things? And all of a sudden, I saw my Bible was coming towards me like this. Both pages open like that. And I woke up like that. But I saw on the page was Isaiah 60. Isn't this the longest introduction to a message you've ever heard in your life? Lord Jesus, I can tell some of you are saying, my God, if this is the introduction, what? How long is this message going to be? My chicken is going to be well roasted. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to start with verse 1. And even then, I still have no notes today. I got nothing. I got no post-it note. I sent my wife home for me once when I was preaching in the days of Burnt Oak. And I'd got to church and I'd realized that I'd left my notes at home. And so I called my wife. I said, Joey, I said, have you left the house yet? She said, yeah. She said, I'm just approaching Edgware at the Harvester there. And I said, please, you must do me a favor. I said, turn around and go home to get my notes. I've left my notes on the bedside table and I'm preaching in half an hour. I need my notes. So she turned the car around. She got home and she found this post-it note on the bedside table with three words on it. And it was no joke. Yeah, it was just three. I'd sent her home to get my notes, and my notes were three words. And she said, I'd have written those words on a new post-it note and saved myself a 40-mile round trip. But she was not impressed at all. But like this morning, I haven't even got like a post-it note. So praise the living God, but I've got a dream. And which one is better? Hallelujah to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. It says here, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness, and I feel that God is speaking to every single person in this house today. Yes. That there's a certain thing that God wants to do with you in his glory. That as he does it in you, and he does it with you and through you, that he'll change you as a result. Praise the living God. He says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your shining. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense. They will bear good news of the praises of their Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered unto you. The rams of Naboth will minister to you. They will go up with acceptance on my altar. And I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their lattices? Surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Hallelujah to Jesus. I really sense the hand of God on this scripture this morning. And as I was studying it out this morning, I saw the blessings of the glory of God upon us all. And look at what it says. The first promise he gives us is at the end of verse 2. It says, and his glory will appear upon you. Then another promise, nations will come to your light. Another promise, kings to the brightness of your shining. And then he drops down, he said, at the end of verse 4, he says, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. You see, the sea in those days carried goods from abroad, wealth, and even the fish of the sea. You know, when the fishing boats came in and they were laden with stuff, then that was the abundance of the sea. But a friend of mine who used to work in the city, one time he was a city trader, and you know traders, they've always got these screens there, and they've got like graphs and all that kind of stuff. And you can look particularly in currency and commodity markets, sometimes you can look at those screens and they look like the sea. The tide is going in, the tide is going out. There's all sorts of comings and goings on those things. And the Lord said to him, he said, look, what do you see, sunshine? And he said, I see charts and graphs. He said, look again. And it turned into like a sea of money, a sea of wealth. And that's what I believe. When I see that scripture, that the abundance of the sea will be turned to me, because the next very thing he says, the wealth of the nations will come to you. There is a connection all the way through scripture between glory and wealth. All the way through. Glory and wealth. There's a connection. May you be connected to it in Jesus' mighty name. If God decides to put his glory on you, wealth follows. Everywhere you go, Book of Haggai, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you cannot separate the two. And look what he said. He carries on there in verse number 6, the very first line. It says, a multitude of camels will cover you. You see, desert people, their wealth was in their camels. In fact, even today, in the Middle East, you know, if you run a human being over on the roads, because they go tearing sometimes from places like Abu Dhabi to Dubai, like there's a very fast road there. People trying out their Lamborghinis and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, if you hit a person, it's one thing. If you hit camels, hey. I mean, honestly, in the law courts over there, their camels can take more weight than hitting a human. It's just bizarre. And it's like that in those days, because camels were what carried heaviness from one place to another. And he says, a multitude of camels will cover you, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come, and they will bring gold and frankincense. You see, that speaks of wealth once again. Frankincense was like the perfume of the day. Back then, you know, there wasn't really an abundance of water where you could turn on the shower. So people stank a lot more than we stink now, unless you're on certain buses. There's one bus that runs through Wembley that apparently, like, people... Have you been on it? You know the bus I'm talking about? I haven't been on it. Tim and Sarah told me about it. It's like, just avoid that bus. I don't even know what number it is. Tim will tell you next time he's preaching. It's a stink bus. But back then, you see, frankincense was like the perfume of the day. And in fact, even today, if you watch, I watched a program about who's this guy and his woman, his pilot is a woman in Saudi, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal. And he's a progressive guy in the Saudi royal family, really progressive. So his pilot, he has his own, I think it's 747 private jet, or one of those. He's got a very, very big private jet. And his pilot is a woman, a Saudi woman. Now, women aren't even allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, and he's got a pilot who's a woman. So he's a very, very progressive guy. So I was watching this documentary on this guy, and he comes down, all his gum. I mean, I don't know how they whiten their garments in the wash. I just don't know how they do it, but like spotless white. And he stands there, and he's got like three incense things burning frankincense, and he stands in the middle of this incense, and he twirls around like that. And the smell of the frankincense goes up through his thing. And this stuff is very, very expensive. Very expensive. Pure frankincense. So again, there's the connection between glory and wealth. Hallelujah. They will bring gold and frankincense and bear good news of the praises of the Lord. May good news come to you today. And I saw something in the realm of the spirit. We're going somewhere because I know that God's got something for every person who says yes to expanding in his glory this year. If this is the year of expansion, then may we expand in the glory of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. The very next verse now, let's go there. He says, where are we? Verse 7. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. Again, these people are agricultural. They are fisher people. So their wealth is in their flocks. Their wealth is in their camels. Their wealth is in their fish and in what the sea brings to you. And look at this next piece there. It says, the rams of Nebaioth will minister to you. Watch. They will go up with acceptance on my altar. I love that scripture. In other words, you know, we often think, right, like particularly when it comes to offering time, and I really want you to get the sense of what God wants to talk to you in this year of expansion. Because for some of you, your expansion will be expanding in your giving. And may this prayer that the Lord is declaring on you today, may this be for your life in Jesus' name. It says, the rams of Nebaioth will minister to you. They will go up. In other words, add their burnt offerings, these particular rams, and they're known for their quality. Rams of Nebaioth back then would have been like Burberry or Versace or Armani or stuff like that. They would have been a brand. You know, it's like this is a good type of ram to bring to the altar. And he says, they will go up. In other words, they'll be burnt as a burnt offering on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. Now, there's something about it when God accepts our offering. You see, the reason why it's called an offering is that we offer it. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't mean that God has to accept it. The money stays on earth and pays bills and everything like that, you see? But the offering that's acceptable to God, that's the one that counts. That's the one that opens doors. That's the one that brings the blessing. And many times we can get into like a computer mode when it comes to offering time. So, oh yeah, you know, like my standard offering's like 20 quid or whatever. So here comes the offering bucket, in goes my 20, right? But you see, we must remember that it's an offering. We are offering it to God. Now, someone said, Pastor P, if God doesn't accept my offering, can I get my money back? Hey, forget it. I can tell somebody was thinking that. I'll pick you in the spirit.
Right, it's really important that we understand this thing. Because the very next thing, he says, they will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. There you go again. There's the connection between wealth and glory. I hope you catch something, because I know that God's got something for you. Verse number 8, I love this scripture. Hey, in fact, some translations bring it out better. I think we haven't got time, and don't even bother looking, Gifty, but I think those of you, if anyone's got an NIV, there's one translation I read, and I thought, wow, he's talking about air travel. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their lattices? Have you ever seen, I don't know if anyone here has ever kept doves. Anyone kept doves here? No. But people who keep doves, when a dove is flying, their lattice, that's their home, the homemade house. They call them dove cotes or something like that as well. There's a certain type of shape of a dove's house. You know, like you get little birdie houses made of coconut where you can hollow out the coconut and hang it on a tree, and then the little birdie comes in and sort of nests there. Well, lattices are where the doves are kept. And as they come in from above, they look like aeroplanes landing. It's quite remarkable. Who are these who fly along like clouds? Okay, yeah, and like doves to their lattices, very similar. But there's one, and I even thought it talked about wings of steel or something like that. But it's remarkable. It's like you can tell that Isaiah, now this is written, 500 years before Jesus Christ is born. So 2,000 years, at least, I mean 2,000 and something years before people even took off the ground in a hot air balloon. And yet he's seeing this from a vantage point. Do you see how powerful the prophetic is? That he can see that from above. And look, he says, wow, these people are flying like clouds. And he says they're landing like doves in their lattices. May your plane land in the name of Jesus. So this is talking prophetically about the return of the nation of Israel to its land. Because they came in on planes, they came in on ships and all sorts of stuff. The resettlement of the nation of Israel, and these are the days that we're living in. So if anything, this Isaiah chapter 60 is more our right than ever before. Verse 9, he says, surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. You see this connection again, glory and wealth, right? Their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because he has glorified you. Praise God. And the Lord said to me, I'm going to close here. The Lord said to me this morning, he said, all these things are conditional. I said, wow, show me. I said, like, I want to know if there's a condition to this, then I want to fulfill it. You know what the condition is? Go back to verse 1. Very first word he says. Arise. Arise. Get up from where you are and do something. Get up from where you are and do something. Do something for God. Do something. Allow. You see, how did Terry and Viv, for instance, know that God had a ministry call on their lives for marriage? Didn't have a clue. Did you ever dream when you first came in this house? Did you ever dream that God had a ministry for you in marriage? It's impossible to know. But what happened? Something started stirring. The desire to arise in a certain area started. Something kicks you off on the inside, right? Something starts small and then it gets bigger. Did you have a clue that you'd be going to the God help you, the farthest corners of the earth, and preaching the gospel to multitudes? Like how? What did it do? It started off as something on the inside, and then you take a little step. You go like I knew that God had called me to ministry years back, even when I was living in Ireland, in the late 80s. And I knew, I didn't know how he would, and really the how is up to God. Many times we don't know how. How can you know how? It's impossible. But we take those little steps, and I did all I could. I joined a church over in Docklands in 1994, which is where I met Dugbe Hazan, 93, which is where I met Dugbe Hazan and some of the church planting team. And I took a step at a time. I became an usher, and I was the best usher in the house. That place, I mean, you could eat your dinner off the floor in that place in Docklands. There were five people in the church, but I didn't care. I did not care. Whatever was needed to do, I just did it with all my heart. And then they said one time, they said, Paul, we'd love to hear what you've got to say one time. Would you preach for us one Sunday evening? Man, I was so excited. I mean, dude, it was all over in 5 minutes. I was a glorious amateur. And I didn't even know if my message made sense. But as far as I was concerned, heavens were opened and the earth moved. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you see what I mean? It's the tiniest thing. And the first step that we do is arise. The shining God puts on you, but the arising is our portion. May you arise to your feet right now. We're going to thank God for his word. And I want us to purpose in our hearts this morning that we're going to expand in the glory of God, that we're going to be doers of God's word, that whatever God has laid on your heart to be and to do, and it starts off in the tiniest ways. I remember Alex, before he could play the drums, I remember you just, like, I don't know, there was a rhythm thing on the inside of you for a long time, and it started, I want to do something. Now he's a great drummer, outstanding. Outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. I remember Roro wanting to lead worship. And she squeaked like a mouse for the first few months. But look at her now. Praise Jesus. Praise God. May you find your groove in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you so much for your word to us today. And we receive it, Lord, as a word straight from heaven. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Help everyone here in this house, Holy Spirit, I pray, to arise into their destiny. Father, we press into the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that you are our inspiration. You are our portion, Lord God. You are our stronghold. You are our very present help in time of need. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.